You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves fan site on the Fan Sided Network. Today is Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everyone. If you are a regular listener, you'll notice that we did not have a show on Monday or Tuesday. I apologize for that. I live in Oklahoma City, and if you have not been paying attention to, I guess, the national weather, or if you're not in the region, we've had an unseasonably early ice storm in Oklahoma. In fact, I've lived here now for a decade almost, and this is by far the worst ice storm we've had. I'm from Minnesota originally, and we don't have ice storms in the upper Midwest. We just have snow and blizzards and some freezing rain and sleet and all that good stuff. Really cold temperatures, but we don't have ice storms. And I'm not going to go into the meteorological phenomenon that ice storms are, but let's just say that there's about an inch of ice on all the trees. Probably 3/4 of the trees in the entire city are down, no matter how big or small they are. Power's out for about almost a million people in the OKC metro area, and that includes me. So spent the last couple nights in a hotel, didn't have my microphone with me, and now recording, hoping to find some Wi-Fi to upload. I'm recording in a 54-degree house with no heat. So still kind of trying to figure out what happens next, but here we are. Had to get a show up today. The plan is to get shows up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. So we'll still get four shows for the week. There's a lot going on in the world of the NBA draft, and so I thought it was important to find a way to get an episode published so that we can all get caught up here on the latest draft news. So without further ado, and without, I guess, any further complaining about what are really, I guess, first world problems, we can go ahead and talk about the NBA draft. That's what I want to do on this show, is the latest draft news. There's been just a couple of rumors out there that are significant that I want to talk about. And then I want to get into the next player on my draft big board, which is number four on draft big board 3.0 here at Locked On Wolves, and do a little bit of a breakdown of the fourth player ranked. I'll quickly recap the first three in the rankings in case you missed those shows. But I want to start with general draft news. Before we do that, though, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, the first thing I want to cover is the news from actually late last week, so almost a week ago now, but just the news that the NBA wants to start the next season around Christmas, perhaps even a couple days earlier, which of course was the initial rumor back when the league went on hiatus last spring, was that the league wanted to start the following season around Christmas, as they've done in the past with lockout shortened seasons, et cetera. Christmas Day is a huge day for NBA sponsors and TV partners. And obviously it's a day that the NBA has kind of owned the last many years. But then as this season, the current, the 2019-2020 season continued to drag on, it became pretty clear that the Players Association did not want to play too soon after the end of the finals. Of course, Christmas is just over 2 months after the conclusion of this year's finals. But now it looks like the league, so it started to look like we were looking at January, maybe February. Also, owners are holding out hope that they'll be able to have fans in their arenas because if they play a season in their arenas with travel and everything without gate revenue and without concessions and parking and everything else, merchandise that comes with having fans in arenas, the owners much preferred to simply wait it out and try and allow fans in the stands. But the other thing to consider is the now 2021 Tokyo Olympics, which at this point, it looks like they're still trying to have in Tokyo. Japan has, for the most part, avoided the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so if those Olympics go off, the NBA, of course, wants to be represented with their players representing Team USA. And so that, you know, pushes the timeline back forward closer to now instead of pushing things to January. And also because the pandemic has gotten so bad, or I guess gotten worse here stateside in the United States, the league, I think owners are realizing that they're pretty unlikely to be able to have fans, or at least anything anything close to a full arena, even by January or February. And so they may be looking at starting the season with no fans, or 10% or 15% capacity, or whatever local and state governments are going to allow, or perhaps even the league. And so it sounds like the owners and players are going to come together and try and find some sort of solution so that there can at least be basketball on or around Christmas Day. And perhaps, you know, later in the season, if they can wrap everything up in June, I guess more realistically July, to allow for a presence at the Tokyo Olympics next August, then this season's got to get going. And the one concession that's going to be made is that there will only be 72 games instead of 82, reportedly, and there won't be an All-Star weekend. There will be some sort of tournament. We've talked about the rumors in the past of a play-in tournament, something to round out the field of teams in the postseason that's more exciting for more fan bases. So, for instance, this year, 22 teams returned to the Orlando bubble, 8 teams did not. Timberwolves fans haven't seen their team play a game in almost 7.5 months, almost exactly 7.5 months. And the league doesn't want that to happen again. And so if they can replace All-Star Weekend with something that, you know, a March Madness type feel for fans of all 30 teams, then that's what they're going to try and do. So fascinating to watch this, to see how this all comes together. But we're talking about 7 weeks until basketball again, which is just crazy. And back, you know, work backwards from that, training camp, preseason. My guess would be, and I haven't seen this reported anywhere, but it makes a ton of sense that the teams that went deep into the playoffs would be allowed to have a later report date if so desired. And the teams who were not part of the bubble could probably report for a normal, you know, 4 weeks or so of training camp / preseason, maybe play 4 or 5 preseason games. Whereas the teams who went to the, you know, say the conference finals, or maybe even all 16 playoff teams, perhaps those teams have a shorter, maybe it's only 1 or 2 preseason games and a 2 week, you know, lead up into the season. So maybe they're not reporting till December 1, whereas bubble team or non-bubble teams, I should say, and non-playoff teams, maybe they're reporting around Thanksgiving or mid-November, which at this point is only like 3 weeks from now. So a lot that we still don't know when it comes to the 2021 season. And it's just insane that we still really, we could have basketball in 7 weeks, or it might be 11, 12, 13 weeks. It could be February if owners think they can have fans by then. But will be really interesting to follow. And for the Timberwolves, if anything happens sooner, the Timberwolves are going to be on the front edge of playing. And it's really hard for me to kind of work backwards from this Christmas date, because remember, the offseason hasn't even happened yet. So we're talking about players reporting basically right after the draft. So there's also been reports out there over the past few days that there's teams and agents that are agreeing to things under the table because they don't know how short this offseason is really going to be. We could be talking about the draft on November, I think it's the 17th or 18th, and free agency. And then suddenly right after free agency, players are supposed to report to prepare for a season that starts in late December. So whatever happens from basically like the draft on is going to happen really quickly and rapidly. And there's going to be a lot of news and a lot to talk about. So it's going to be hectic. And certainly I don't envy the front offices that are going to go from months to study the same draft prospects over and over to suddenly an entire off season and a preseason and a training camp crammed into probably 6 weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun for those of us who talk about basketball and write about basketball on a daily basis. So, you know, make sure you're subscribed to the show, because there's going to be a lot going on as we get into November and a lot to talk about as we draw ever closer to the draft, finally. Next up, what I want to do is I want to talk about the most recent draft rumors related to the top 3 picks in the draft, including James Wiseman's stock continuing to apparently rise among teams in the lottery. Before we do that, let's talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever of all time. It was already fantastic, but guess what? It's gotten even better. Brand new packaging, brand new logo, brand new taste. There were 12 original flavors that were all fantastic. There's now 6 brand new flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, caramel brownie cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The best tasting protein bar of all time. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. They're all soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. All the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber, and perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. This only will last for a limited amount of time. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, the most recent draft rumor is surrounding James Wiseman, the Memphis big man who played in a really limited number of games last year, and I had left off my last couple of big boards because I just don't think he's a fit with the Timberwolves. He duplicates a lot of what Karl-Anthony Towns does. He's also 7 feet, probably a little bigger than Towns in terms of his height. And he doesn't have 3-point range as of yet. I think there's a lot of reason to believe he will, and he'll be able to expand his range. He's shown flashes of that. He's got good shooting mechanics. He's athletic. He should be a good defender. He'll be really good in the pick and roll, running the floor as a 7-footer, all those things. It just doesn't fit with what the Wolves are trying to do for Minnesota to take him at number one. So we'll see, you know, how realistic some of these rumors are. But I guess first let's talk about what they are. So it's been reported in a couple of different places. The Charlotte Observer is reporting that the Hornets are really interested in Wiseman at 3, as is Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer. And the Hornets hold the number 3 pick. Everyone's kind of thought that they would take whoever of Edwards and Ball is left if one of those is there, but maybe they'd take Wiseman. And there's just kind of this thought that they didn't really care. They just need a top flight talent. I tend to think that's still where they're at. And they're guaranteed one of the trio in the supposed top tier of LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and Wiseman. And I'm not sure that they really care, but if they really want James Wiseman, they're going to need to move up. Coincidentally or not, the Golden State Warriors are now apparently interested in Wiseman. Of course, there's been rumors about basically every player almost really in the top 10, from Denis Avdija to Devin Vassell to, you know, all three of the guys in the top tier. There's 5 to 7 guys that the Warriors have been interested to really be hot on the trail of, that they want to draft at number 2. And a lot of that is the Golden State front office and ownership group doing their misinformation campaign, and they're really good at that. They're good at playing the media game. And how much of this now is tied to the Hornets' alleged interest in Wiseman? Suddenly the Warriors are also interested in Wiseman. So is it Golden State trying to get Charlotte to pony up and trade to 2? Is it Minnesota trying to get Charlotte to get to 1 so that they get the guy that they want? Or Minnesota simply trying to raise the value of their number 1 pick by talking about all these guys that Charlotte and Golden State are both apparently obsessed with trying to draft? So we don't really know exactly what the truth is out there. Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer also said that Golden State wanted Wiseman. And I think the word he used was actually covet. He said, rumblings around the league suggest Golden State and Charlotte covet Wiseman. And so then he goes on, this is his new mock draft that was just updated this week, actually just on Tuesday, so a day ago. And he lists Wiseman going number 1, but he's got Minnesota trading back to number 3 with Charlotte in this mock draft. So Charlotte would send an unprotected 2022 first round pick, so not next year, but the year after, to the Wolves and the number 3 pick for number 1. So Minnesota would slide back to 3. The Wolves picking up a 2022 unprotected pick from Charlotte is obviously valuable. Minnesota is trying to get more picks in 2021 because, remember, they traded both their first and second rounder with Andrew Wiggins to get D'Angelo Russell earlier this year, and they've already got their own 2022 pick. So obviously you'd rather have 2 picks in 2022 than not. So I think this is a trade Minnesota would entertain, certainly, especially if they've got multiple guys at 1 that they feel comfortable with, and sliding back to 3 isn't terrible in this draft. Whereas with Charlotte, if they think Golden State likes Wiseman, that's what their intelligence is telling them, it's valuable for them to slide up to get their guy at number 1. So then O'Connor, the rest of his mock draft, he's got the Warriors taking Anthony Edwards at 2, basically saying that if Wiseman's off the board, they're likely to draft a wing, and to grow within their system, Edwards makes sense. Of course, I've drawn plenty of comparisons between him and Andrew Wiggins, and that's the type of wing that Golden State wants, is somebody who can create, but is also a good slasher, can defend, can hopefully make open threes. All the things that Edwards and Wiggins should be, but frankly are not. And so it makes sense why Golden State would take Edwards at 2. I'm not sure that they would draft him myself, but then again, I guess they traded for Andrew Wiggins, and Wiggins is vastly overpaid. So maybe they would. Then the really interesting part of the O'Connor mock draft at the Ringer is that at number 3, with LaMelo Ball on the board, he doesn't have Minnesota taking Ball. Instead, he has him taking Denis Avdija, the forward, the 6'9" forward who's been playing at Maccabi Tel Aviv. And really, I'll just read what he has here. He says, the Timberwolves would recoup a first-round draft pick with this deal, trading back to 3, after they lost one in the D'Angelo Russell deal last season. Passing on LaMelo Ball might come as a shocker, but let's be real. Does LaMelo really make any sense on a team that already has Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns? Minnesota needs a stabilizing force, and Avdija projects as a highly versatile defender who can play with or without the ball offensively. If his jumper improves, he has tremendous upside. So I haven't done a full really a profile of Avdija, because I really don't think the Timberwolves are all that interested in him. He just doesn't seem like the type of player they're going to select in this draft. I will get to him soon in my big board 3.0. So I will talk more about him then, but I guess the short version is he's not a consistent enough shooter or a good enough defender, in my mind, with enough athleticism to really be the switchable guy that the Wolves want to have at the three or at the four. He is a smart player and he's a good off-ball defender. He's got good feel. He can play make a little bit. He can play point forward offensively. There's certainly some comparisons to a Danilo Gallinari. I think he's going to be better than a recent similar play that the Wolves had in Dario Saric. I think he will be better at the NBA level than Saric has been. His free throw shooting is bad. I mean, he's been not quite 60% as a free throw shooter. His 3-point shooting isn't consistent. It worries me that he's going to be able to be a consistent shooter from range and with modest athleticism and, you know, decent length. He's 6'9", but his wingspan's only 6'9". I just don't think his feel is enough to overcome some of those physical limitations. And if he's not going to be a knockdown shooter, I think he just becomes maybe a slightly better version of Dario Saric. I don't think he's going to be the shooter that Gallinari has been. I don't think he'll be quite as dynamic. He's a little bit more of a playmaker. Saric never really was the playmaker at the NBA level that people thought he would be. And those are really my concerns with Avija. He's a decent shooter. He shot a little, basically 34% from three, but only 56% from the free throw line. And those numbers are not the type of numbers the Wolves are going to be looking for out of somebody that they're going to draft this year. I understand they took Jarrett Culver and his shooting numbers aren't overwhelming either, but that's a different animal because Culver is an above average defender, profiles as a little bit of a better playmaker, plays, you know, he can play the two, switch on to threes and ones, whereas Avija is the size of a four and is going to be expected to guard some threes and some fives. And I think that Avija has some of those limitations athletically for this position that that Culver obviously doesn't have as a guard and a wing. So I just don't see Avija as a target for the Wolves. I think if they were to take the Charlotte deal and move back to three, I do think that LaMelo Ball, if he's on the board, they would take him. I actually think they take Obi Toppin over Avija, or maybe even surprise and take somebody a little bit lower down on the board, like a Killian Hayes or an Isaac Okoro or somebody like that. So at any rate, really interesting steam surrounding Wiseman and the apparent interest in him now suddenly at the top of the board. We'll see how much of this is actual smoke and how versus how much of it is legitimate and what that means here moving forward to his draft stock and what the value is, the trade value of the number one pick that the Wolves possess. All right, I want to wrap up today by talking about the number four player on Big Board 3.0. That's coming up next. All right, it's time to talk Big Board 3.0. Real quickly, the top three players on 3.0. Number one is LaMelo Ball. Number two, Killian Hayes. Number three, Anthony Edwards. Today, I want to talk about number four. Quickly, the criteria for this is basically I'm attacking this big board as if I was in the Timberwolves front office. So from the perspective of the Timberwolves, if I was for random team X, perhaps Wiseman's in my top three, maybe Killian Hayes isn't. It just kind of depends on who I think fits the roster best combined with the best overall value. So now we're kind of into these guys where if the Wolves were to trade back, whether it be with the Hornets to three, perhaps it's the Bulls at four or the Hawks at six or the Knicks at eight, are all teams that have been considered not just willing, but perhaps trying, you know, actively trying to move up in the draft. Those are all places the Wolves could land. So these are all players that the Wolves could potentially get in a trade back. And of course, they could do anything at one. They could take any of these guys first if they felt like that was the best value on the board. So number four on the board for me is Tyrese Haliburton, the wing out of Iowa State. He is, there's a lot of similarities between his game and Killian Hayes. Now, Hayes is second on my board. I have Haliburton fourth. So quickly, here's basically the strengths and weaknesses that I see in Tyrese Haliburton and what I think he could bring to the table. He is really kind of a primary playmaker. He's probably best cast as a point guard, but similar to Killian Hayes, I think he could be a really good secondary playmaker, play off the ball a little bit. And with Haliburton especially, he's actually got a little bit more of a consistent shot in terms of percentage. It doesn't look as good as Killian Hayes, but his size as well would allow him to play off the ball. And he's got serious range on his shot as well. Haliburton's measurables, he is a similar size to Killian Hayes. He is, let me pull up the exact numbers. He's 6'5" with a 6'8" wingspan, which is basically the same as Hayes. Hayes might have a little bit of a bigger wingspan depending on where you're finding the number from. But Haliburton's, he's a big wing. He's a playmaker. He's a really good passer. He's probably like the third or fourth best passer in this draft, certainly behind Ball and Killian Hayes. And he's a better defender than Hayes, which I think is why some people would give him the edge over Hayes as a prospect. He is generally better on defense, generally makes smarter rotations. He's a better off-ball defender. He's got some of the same athletic limitations. I tend to think he's got more athleticism than Hayes and more athleticism than, say, D'Angelo Russell. I think that his athleticism will allow him to still be effective in the paint and better as a defender from day one than people think. Now, he's a little bit thinner than, and I keep comparing him to Hayes because I think they're very similar players, and they're going to get drafted both certainly in the top 10. Both are possible to be drafted in the top 5 or 6 in this year's draft. But I think Halliburton's a little too slight to finish through contact in the paint at the NBA level. His athleticism will allow him to be effective, and his length will allow him to be effective in the paint and at the rim. But I just don't think he'll be able to finish through contact. It was an issue in college for him to finish consistently at and around the rim. And so I don't see that solving itself in the NBA. While he should be a better shooter from day one than Killian Hayes, his shot motion is weird. He's kind of pushing the shot instead of shooting it up high. He's got a pretty quick release and he's got really good range. And so there's some question as to whether or not he even needs to overhaul his form because it's so effective. It could be a little easier to be blocked because the release point's a little bit lower. It's not quite a Lonzo Ball release point or a Sean Marion release point, but it's a little bit lower and kind of strange. So there might be some tweaks to his shot. I just think NBA teams seem to kind of be on the fence with overhauling guys' shots to make them better or leaving them be if they're effective shooters. Like, for instance, Jarrett Culver's overhauling his shot because what he was doing isn't working. Ricky Rubio tried changing his shot several times. There's all kinds of guys who have done that. It doesn't always work. And so I think if there's that question mark, you know, Hayes already has a fundamentally sound shot. And even if it doesn't go in quite as often, that's something given his success at the free throw line and really from touch from all over the floor. There's reason to believe Hayes is going to continue improving as a shooter, whereas Halliburton, there's that question mark of, you know, do you mess with his shot form? Do you mess with his mechanics or not? So for me, I think Halliburton's a worthy target in that mid to, that 5 to 10 range in this draft. I have him 4 on the big board for the Wolves because I do think there's some solid, again, the floor ceiling combination, similar to Killian Hayes. I think he can step in and be a rotation player from day one. But he's probably best cast as a point guard long-term, and I just don't know that that's the best fit with the Wolves. I think Hayes could be a little more effective off the ball immediately because he's a little bit of a better passer with some better touch, and they're both, I think he might be a little bit of a better one-on-one defender than Halliburton, but there's a ton of similarities. So Halliburton's number 4 on my board. I could easily see him sliding a little bit further down if I were going to do a 4.0. I'm not sure I will, but I could see him sliding a little bit further in favor of some of the more versatile wing type guys who we're going to get into here soon. The Vassells, the Okoros, the Sadiq Bays, Nesmith, guys that are typically mocked in the 9 to 12 range that I just think are a little bit better fits with the Wolves. But again, the floor ceiling combination and ultimately the ceiling that Halliburton has is why I have him at number 4 on my board at this point. All right, later this week, I want to keep going through the big board. We'll obviously talk about any news that comes up, but primarily be focused on rounding out big board 3.0 and then spending some time on players around the number 17 pick that the Wolves have, perhaps even full episodes on players that I think could be primary targets for the Wolves. And then eventually I want to get to number 33 as well so we can look at really maybe 5 to 10 guys who I think could be targets for the Wolves with their second round pick, the third pick of the second round. I think that'll be a key thing for us to take a look at that I haven't really talked about much here in the coming weeks. But for the time being, I want to keep motoring through the top 10 on Big Board 3.0. And then obviously any other additional draft rumors that crop up here in the next couple of days. As a reminder, this is a daily show Monday through Friday. So this week we will have episodes on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because we missed Monday and Tuesday, so be sure to tune in. If you aren't already subscribed to Locked On Wolves, friendly reminder that you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.